In fact, it's a crime. It's a crime.
Here come the drums.
C-R-I-M-E-W-A-V. You're rolling with the Crime Wave, the internet's first and only podcast devoted to the crime short story. I'm Seth Harwood, your host, the first name in crime podcast fiction, and I'm ready to bring you this week's story. The Crime Wave is produced by Mystery Dog, Aldo Calcagno, and it is not safe for your minivans. That means it might contain swearing, violence, and all types of shit.
The Plumber. Copyright 2008, Basil Sands. If I could, I would, said Philip McKenzie to his wife, Ella. Well, figure it out, for God's sake, Ella replied. I am not going to take cold showers until we can get a plumber in here. Philip looked at the hot water tank in the garage one more time and tried to visualize the instructions he had seen on the internet. They had heard a loud clang that rang through the house as he and Ella were enjoying a romantic shower together. Suddenly, the water was icy cold, and the steamy mood vanished in a torrent of panic screams. Honey, I am not a plumber, Philip finally said. According to the web, that part up there needs to be changed. But look at how complex that thing is. Look. If you have any idea of ever finishing what we were doing in the shower earlier, you'd better get this thing fixed soon, Ella replied. And I don't want to pay $200 to a plumber, especially since it's at least 3 days before the first one is available in this crazy city. Philip sized up his wife's resolve and considered his options. A potential month or two of celibacy, he figured she couldn't last longer than that. Or a few bruised knuckles from fixing it himself and back to romance the same night. He made the obvious choice most males would have agreed to and headed to Home Depot for the parts and some tools. As he pulled out of his lower hillside neighborhood on Abbott Road in Anchorage's middle-class south side, he glanced to the right, to the mountains, just a couple of miles east. They were beautiful on that spring Saturday morning. Remnants of snow still coated the tops. The white glow reflected against the stone surface and gave the mountains a bluish marbled tint as the sun shimmered brightly above them. It was still low in the sky at 9 a.m. Philip passed Robert W. Service High School, his own alma mater, and quickly remembered the bright summer days he spent playing soccer on the school's football field. He longed for such simplicity again. Days when the only things on his mind were how to get the ball from the attacking forwards and how to get the unbelievably cute Ella Flynn to kiss him. While his soccer days were definitely gone, at least he still had Ella. Now, of course, thanks to a failed hot water pressure release valve, the kissing was once again in question. 5 minutes later, he pulled into the large, fairly empty parking lot of the Home Depot. He walked up to the automatic entry door. It slid open, and Philip entered the foyer area and pulled a shopping cart from the stack of carts lined up along the length of the open space. The items he was getting were small and could be carried in a small handbasket, but something about pushing a cart through the store seemed more comfortable to him. He put his jacket in the fold-out baby seat area of the cart as he turned and pushed it towards the second set of doors that led directly into the store. The doors slid open, and out walked a young man he recognized. He was one of the computer network technicians in the office where Philip worked as a project manager for one of the major oil companies. His name was Clive. Clive was thin and pale. He had a head full of unruly red hair set above darkly sunken eyes. Long, thin fingers stretched from the ends of longer, thinner arms. He looked harried and distracted and nearly ran right into Philip's cart. "I'm sorry," he mumbled. Then, looking up, his eyes brightened briefly as he recognized Philip. "Oh, Mr. McKenzie," Clive said. "Doing some home repairs this morning?" "Yeah, you?" "Oh, I'm working on some electronics devices, and Radio Shack wasn't open yet, but they had what I needed here, though. Well, it's plumbing for me, Philip said. My wife is making me shut, Clive suddenly blurted. Philip was startled by the unexpected utterance. Huh? Oh, I'm sorry, Clive replied. He snapped his head nervously towards Philip and said, It's not you. His eyes snapped back towards something out the front door in the parking lot. I gotta go. See you later. Clive reached out and shook Philip's right hand. His left hand grasped the side of the cart near Philip's jacket as his eyes darted back and forth from Philip to the parking lot. Okay, see you Monday then. Philip felt awkward at the young man's sudden mood shift. Clive quickly walked away without responding. He walked fast out the door. Philip watched as a man got out of another vehicle and called out to Clive. Clive walked towards him. The two said something, then seemed to be arguing. Philip didn't want anything to do with trouble. He had enough with his wife to worry about as it was. He went about his shopping. It took a little longer than he had thought to find the parts he needed, but 20 minutes later, he paid through the self-checkout lane and went out to his car. Rather than put his coat back on, he just carried the bundle of it from the cart. As he walked, he noticed Clive's car was still in the parking lot, but Clive was nowhere to be seen. Must have left with his friend. Philip drove towards home. He glanced down and noticed the fuel gauge read nearly empty, so he made a quick stop at the Fred Meyer's grocery store to fill up on gas. While he was there, he also ran into the store itself to get some donuts for later. Stressful days always made him crave sweets. Another 20 minutes passed before he was on the road again. Nearly an hour after Philip left, he pulled back into his driveway. As he turned from the street, he noticed a car parked two doors down with two people in it. The glare of the sun shone across the windshield. He could not see any details of their faces. They both turned away as he looked towards them. Philip pressed the button on the garage door opener and drove his car inside. He left the door open to provide more natural light while he worked on the water heater. He climbed out of the car with the bundle of his jacket under his arm. The plastic bag full of brass parts and an assortment of wrenches hung loosely from his hand. He held a box of donuts tightly between his fingers. He walked towards the door to let his wife know that he was back and would start working right away. He opened the door to the mudroom. Something struck his senses. It made him pause in confusion. It took a moment to figure out what it was. A smell. An unusual smell that he didn't recognize. A cleaner of some kind. Maybe furniture polish? No. Alcohol base. Cologne. Men's cologne. He stepped into the house. Everything was silent. The odor of men's cologne hung heavily in the air. Sharp and strong, it stung the nose slightly. He grasped the bag of parts and tools tighter, his mind not comprehending. Philip set the jacket and the donuts down on the bench just inside the door. Thoughts whirled. Was his wife being unfaithful to him? He was only gone an hour. It couldn't be that. Hello, Mr. McKenzie. A male voice startled him. It was clear and articulate, a West Coast accent. He looked from the mudroom entry past the staircase near the front door and into his living room. A man sat on the love seat with Ella. He was dressed in black slacks and a cream-colored button-down shirt. No tie, but he looked like someone who would normally wear one. The man was grinning and had his arm around Ella's shoulders. He was holding her close. It looked like he was trying to cuddle her. Ella looked terrified. The man had a chromed automatic pistol in his right hand. It was resting on his lap. "Who are you?" demanded Philip. "You have something of mine, Mr. McKenzie. You need to give it to me, and I will be on my way," replied the man. "What are you talking about?" said Philip. "I don't even know you." "No, you don't," replied the man. "But according to your late friend and apparent accomplice, Clive Stewart, you do know what I'm talking about, and you have the memory stick with my data on it." "What?" Philip objected. "I barely even knew Clive. He worked for the same company as me, but I barely knew him." "Yeah, that's what they all say." "What do you mean by late friend? Philip questioned. His heart leaped in his chest. He was suddenly very scared. Clive, it seems, was a hacker that got in over his head with information he couldn't really handle. He's no longer among us.
You killed him?
Oh, no. No, no, no. He did himself in. I only questioned him somewhat rigorously. Had he been in decent shape, he would have been fine. But I guess that diet of Fritos and Pepsi didn't do the little geek very well, and his ticker popped under the stress. Quite sad. Philip stared at the man in disbelief. He's still out in my car. Would you like to see him?
No, Philip replied.
Now, give me my memory stick, Phil.
Ella looked pleadingly at her husband.
Please, Philip, give him what he wants and make him go.
I don't know what he's talking about, Philip insisted. Oh, but Clive said you did. It was his dying confession, the man said. He said he met you at the Home Depot and passed the stick to you. He said you had planned the whole thing.
Planned it? Shouted Philip. He was nearly hysterical with confusion.
Planned it? I don't have your damn memory stick.
Look, Phil, said the man, still calm and grinning. We can do this a couple of ways. One, you give me the stick containing the data you stole. And do it right away, and I'll let you and your pretty wife live, and you'll never see me again.
The man smiled at them and waved the gun in a gesture of reasonableness.
Two, he continued, you resist a little longer, and I make your very sexy-looking wife strip naked at gunpoint until you get the stick for me.
He leered at the woman. I kind of like that one myself.
Three, he looked back at Philip and pointed the pistol at his midsection. I shoot you in the belly and make your wife watch your guts spill out. Then I strip her and rape her in front of you before you bleed to death. And then I have my associates search the house until they find it. And if you're still alive, they'll each have a go at your wife, too.
Ella choked back her terror as the man described her potential fate. She tried to mouth words, but nothing came out. Philip looked at her, then at the man. His mind raced to find a way out of this. He didn't have the stick the man was talking about. If Clive was mixed up in some scandal, he had no idea what it was. He barely even knew the geeky computer technician. He had no clue as to what information this man was talking about.
All right, he said at length. I'll give it to you, but let my wife go first.
The man gave him a belittling look.
Phil, be serious. I've got the gun and the girl. Give me the stick and I promise your wife will be okay.
He raised his left hand from Ella's shoulder, showing the palm and holding up two fingers. Scout's honor. Philip suddenly remembered Clive's behavior at the store. When he left, he had shook his right hand, but Clive's left hand was on the cart, next to his jacket. Maybe he dropped something into it.
It's in my jacket, by the garage door.
Well then, said the man, let's go get it. He turned to Ella. Let's take a walk, babe. He stood and pulled her up by the back of her shirt, keeping the gun trained on Philip. Philip led them to the mudroom where his jacket lay on the bench. The room was small, 5 feet by 6 feet, with one long bench, a shelf with a coat rack under it, and a row of shoes under the bench. Philip walked over to the bench. The man had his hand on Ella's narrow waist, holding her tightly against his own body. He moved the pistol against the side of her chest and nodded towards Philip.
Go ahead now. Don't want your cutie here to get her pretty little package all messed up now, do ya?
Philip lifted up his jacket, and the memory stick fell out from inside of it. Clive had merely dropped it into the open top of the jacket where it lay folded in the cart. The stick clattered to the tile floor.
Ah, said the man. See? I knew we could solve this easily. Now pick it up.
Philip reached down to the floor and picked it up between his fingers. A realization struck him as he rose and looked up at the shiny chrome sides of the gun. This man was not going to let them go.
Now, hand it to your wife.
Philip reached up with a stick dangling from the end of his finger.
The man smiled and kept his eyes on Philip. Okay, baby. Now you reach out and take it from your hubby. Then put it in my pants pocket. Ella reached out and took it from Philip. Her hand was shaking as she grasped the 2-inch-long memory stick. Her eyes met Philip's. She had the same realization of their doom. She looked for a cue from her husband, a sign of what to do. Go ahead, honey, Philip said. Put it in his pocket. Ella slid the stick into the top of his pocket with the tip of her fingers. The man grabbed her wrist and pushed her hand all the way into his pocket. I want you to slide it all the way inside. He grinned malevolently. A spark of evil lit his eyes. He forced her hand onto his private parts. Ella grimaced in disgust and fear. Is the stick down there, sweetie? She choked back sobs and nodded. The man's smile widened. It's a little bigger than you thought, isn't it? He turned his face towards her. Not like your little man over there, huh? The man's eyes flicked to Philip, then back to the woman. As his gaze left Philip, he turned the gun sideways in a questioning gesture. Philip leaped on the chance and grabbed the man's right wrist with his own left hand, twisting the gun up and away. Philip swung the bag laden with the heavy brass hot water pressure release valve and steel tools. It slammed into the man's rib cage. The man grunted painfully. A shot exploded in the tiny space of the mudroom. Their ears rang wildly. The bag ripped, and its contents spilled out onto the floor with a loud clank and thud. The man struggled against Philip's grip. Philip responded by mashing the man in the face with his elbow. The man's nose burst in a shower of blood. Ella reached farther into the man's pocket and wrapped her fingers around his scrotum. She squeezed tightly and yanked her hand back out of the man's pocket, still holding on to his testicles. The man screamed in agony. The three of them tumbled back against the door of the mudroom and thudded to a stop against its solid wooden panels. The man forearmed Ella across the side of her head. With all his might, he shoved her head into the doorframe. Her skull smacked loudly into the wood, and she loosed her grip on his manhood, crumpling to the ground. Philip pounded the man's face 3 more times with his elbow until he heard a crack. The man's jaw dropped loosely on one side of his face. He reached his freed left hand and pressed his fingers into Philip's face. He tried to gouge Philip's eyes. Philip rolled his body in towards the man's chest and crushed him against the wall. The man's hand slipped off Philip's face and down to his throat. Philip grasped at his fingers as the man squeezed his larynx. He could feel the cartilage in his throat giving way to the sharp pressure. Philip raised his right hand and drove his elbow into the man's rib cage over and over. Once, twice, 3 times. Philip's face was turning dark red. He needed air. He slammed his head backwards, making solid contact with the man's shattered jaw. The man let out a cry of pain. Philip did it again. The man's grip on his throat lessened. Philip's left arm was tiring from the exertion of holding the pistol away from them. The man pulled the gun hand towards Philip. He flexed his arms with all his might, and Philip's oxygen-starved limbs slowly gave way. Once his elbow was bent under the man's forceful pressure, he couldn't straighten it back out. The pistol gradually drifted towards him. The man bent his wrist inward. The barrel of the pistol swung towards Philip's face. Philip mashed his head against the man's jaw. The man grunted. Philip could see down the length of the barrel. The black hole at its end gaped wide in front of his eyes. Philip saw the man's finger curl around the trigger. He slammed his head to the right just as the man pulled the trigger. Another shot exploded into the room. Philip felt the heat of the bullet pass within an inch at the side of his head. The wood just to the left of the man's head splintered as the large caliber bullet smashed through it. Ella convulsed at the noise, suddenly shocked back to consciousness. She screamed her husband's name. Philip switched hands on the pistol arm. His back was to the man, with his right hand holding the man's right. The man grabbed a fistful of Philip's hair and yanked his head towards the pistol. Philip rolled with a punch and jerked the man's pistol hand inward with his own hand. He reached up with his left and smacked the side of the pistol with his open palm, forcing the barrel of the pistol towards the man's face. The pressure of the 2 hands twisting the man's arm locked his finger into place on the trigger. Philip lifted his right foot and stomped as hard as he could on the bridge of the man's foot. There was a solid crack. The man screamed in pain, and his finger contracted involuntarily. The trigger squeezed home. There was a third explosion, followed by a wet splatter against the wooden door. Philip felt warmth against the back of his head. The moist warmth trickled down his back. The man's grip loosened, then went completely slack. Philip stepped out of the man's hold and let the body slump to the mudroom floor. His wife screamed and scrambled to the corner of the mudroom, putting as much space between herself and the bloody body as she could. Philip turned and saw that the explosive force of the large bullet had split the top of the man's head like a watermelon mashed with a sledgehammer. His wife continued to scream. Philip lifted her up in his arms, flung open the garage door, and ran, carrying her body out of the room and into the open garage, out of sight of the man's blood-slicked body. Philip stood in the garage, holding his wife and gasping for breath. He pulled the cell phone out of his pocket and dialed 911. As he waited for the operator to answer, he glanced up and saw the still broken hot water heater. He stared at it ruefully and thought, I knew I should have called a plumber.
In fact, it's a crime. It's a crime.
Here come the drums!
Thank you for listening to The Crime Wave. I'm your host, Seth Harwood. I hope you'll check out the rest of the stories here on Crime Wave and tell your friends about it. It's the CRIMEWAV. Help pass the word, register at our site so that you can participate in the forums and add comments to the episodes. You can email us with questions or comments at info@crimewave.com. Aldo, the mystery dog, and I will get your email and we'll get back to you right quick. You can also call the K7 line, 206-350-4998, to leave comments or feedback. And if you leave a great message, we'll even play it at the end of a show. So drop a line, hop on the website, visit often, spread the word, and thank you for stopping by The Crime Wave.
Get dressed.